Good evening. My name's Carolyn. I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to move this a little closer. Okay. You know, the past week, this night is a little different because I think we don't have our prompts. And I've really enjoyed that, what I think is the set-aside prayer that we've said, but I don't know it by heart, so we'll just have hold that in our hearts. Tonight we're talking about steps 10 and 11, which for me are largely, and I think for all of us, largely about keeping the channel clear so that we can continue to develop our God consciousness and that vital sixth sense, which is our God consciousness. So step 10 is continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So of course, where did we learn to do the personal inventory? It was in the fourth step. And steps 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance steps. I've heard steps 1 and 3 are the steps where we came to believe in our higher power, and steps 4 through 9 where we cleared away the wreckage of the past. Now, I heard a speaker tell this story. I'm not good at telling stories or recounting them very well because I like to get to the punchline first. But so this guy was driving along in his big old, this drunk was driving along in his big old station wagon. And whenever he'd have a drink or eat something, he'd just throw it over his shoulder into the back seat. If he was really good aim, it was into the way back. And he kept doing that for a really long time. And then he had to stop drinking. So he threw on the brakes, and what happened? All that stuff came flying over the back seat in the way back and hit the windshield and landed on him. That's kind of where we are when we're starting the steps. And so in order to keep our station wagon clean, we do steps 10 and 11. So, gosh. And I think the station wagon, of course, I'm not going to explain that. Anyway, on page 84, which is where step 10 starts, talks about how we entered this world of the spirit. And quite honestly, that just, you know, when Kevin asked you to do this, then what do you do? What did I do? I went back and read the big book in places that I may not have looked at as closely as I have in when I first was doing these things. And so I was thinking, well, what does the spirit, what does the world of the spirit mean to me? And of course, sometimes we refer to the spiritual part of the program, which is, you know, we think, oh, well, it's six and seven, 10, 11, then we think of the spiritual part of our lives, Sunday, you know, before we got here, but it's really all spiritual, isn't it? It's all spiritual, and that's what, when I was new, and talking to, actually, Trevor's sponsor, but he wasn't a sponsor back then, our friend Luther, and I had just gotten out of the hospital one more time and was essentially kind of a tongue-chewing, babbling idiot. I wasn't babbling. I wasn't speaking at all, but he let me come over to his house. He was a florist at the time, self-employed, and he was making Christmas decorations. And so what he was having me do was use a glue gun, which was new challenge, and glue on like these, we were making these triangles, and then a cardinal was supposed to sit on the triangle. Well, as I'm, you know, trying to do that, he's explaining to me that our whole life is spiritual, that suiting up and showing up is spiritual. The fact that I could even get out of bed, which was a challenge back then, and get to his house was spiritual. And these days, well, these days getting out of bed is spiritual for me, but the point being is, you know, we show up at work, we do what's asked of us, do what we are supposed to do and can do for our families, in AA, give our phone numbers out to people we don't know, and then I usually say, I think about the most spiritual thing I do is answer my phone, even if I don't recognize the number. So to me, that's what the world of the spirit is. And I heard at a meeting an old timer, I think he qualifies as an old timer because he's having the old timer picnic at his place. Anyways, he said, well, step 10 is the continued step. I was like, I wonder what he means by that. But if we look on page 84, continue is mentioned like four times in that paragraph. This thought brings us to step 10, which says we continue to take personal inventory, continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along, and we continue. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. And then, of course, continue to watch for what? Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Those four, I guess, character defects, four issues that arise frequently in my life. And continue means to maintain without interruption. So, looking at the, it's kind of a simple formula in the fourth step that we learned, and step 10 kind of boils it down. A friend of mine used to call it the spread in her head. She'd go, oh yeah, I got upset today and I just did the spread in my head. I was like, what is she talking about? She was talking about the columns. Well, in step 10, you know, we can use the columns in our head, or we can just pay attention to what I think is they've outlined in one paragraph is the very simple process of when these crop up, that is selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, what do we do? And all of the words have some immediacy to them. We ask God at once to remove them. I ask God at once to remove this really selfish thought, like, well, he doesn't want to go with me, so I'm just going to go myself to, you know, fill in the blank. The movie, the vacation, the trip, visiting the kids, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's a thought, I'm embarrassed to say, comes up more often than it should. But recently, in the past few months, I've been asking for it to be removed because I finally recognized it as ultimate selfishness. So anyways, but do I talk to someone immediately? It says we talk to someone immediately. And I think that may be the little section that a lot of us drop out of our spread in our head or the 10th step. It's that thing where we have to talk to somebody else. Often it's our sponsor, often it's just another sober friend in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't mean just, but another sober friend. And then we make amends quickly. And then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone that we can help. And I think there's, you know, so many people, I've heard a speaker one time say, and this is the crux of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then she said, and there's so many cruxes to Alcoholics Anonymous. But what I've noticed a lot of is it's about removing that selfishness, you know. And just for a quick review here, if I can find it, it's that page that we talked about, page 62, that my sponsor used to talk to me all the time. Read it. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So, pretty good definition there of selfishness and self-centeredness. Back in step three. So, Kevin asked me to mention, bring the moral inventory, which I think I mentioned maybe in the first week that Dr. Bob developed. And I have used a book by Wally P., who wrote something called Back to Basics, and it's how people in AA back in the early 40s were gathered around and did the steps in 4 hours, basically. And so one of the tools that they used was this sheet, and Kevin has 24 of them. and what I was stricken by was I have never listed my assets. I've never really looked at my assets, and it wasn't, at least in my experience, emphasized in doing the steps. So anyways, this moral inventory now I'm kind of thinking, oh, well, maybe we do look at our assets, because after all, Dr. Bob wrote this moral inventory sheet. So something to think about. Anyways, I'm not going to go over it, but it looks like something that would be really easy to use it is easy to use, not just in a fourth step, but in the, however you like to think of it, the 10th step inventory or the 11th. You know, controversies, discussions have been had. And at this time, I would like to just say thank you to my husband, because he has not managed any of my talks here. I haven't practiced on him or said any. Well, what do you think about this? Well, I think I did, actually. I said, what do you think my best thinking got me here means? And got me to AA. And we both kind of agreed it was kind of a sarcastic type of quote, or that we took it that way. That's the extent of what I've asked him about in the past few weeks. And, you know, eventually he'll be up here, and hopefully I won't say, well, you know, when I was doing it, what I said was blah, blah, blah. Anyway, just a shout out to Trevor for your patience with this process. Which up until right now probably hasn't been very difficult at all. So in the 10th step, which is the what I just said, some people do the 10th step every day. You know, I've read it, and I was brought up that it's when these things crop up. And for me, a resentment is not, I'm just angry, somebody cut me off. I don't do the whole 10th step over that. It's when I have a resentment, which is a repeat, you know, there's a repeat offender in my life, okay? Somebody that's really gotten my attention and gotten in my head. And also my experience usually has been that I don't just do the spread in my head and make a quick call or text. I write it out and actually call somebody. I say call because I've moved quite a bit in the people that are my, a lot of my close friends, although I'm developing some here, I have called and read off the step to them in much the way that we do the fifth step, but just read that one entry off and then get some direction on amends. So, I haven't done a daily inventory. There are promises in the 10th step. I don't do a daily 10th step inventory, excuse me. We're getting to the 11th, and that's about an aspiration of a daily inventory for me. The promises of the 10th step are on page 84 and 85. And what I think they say is that sanity will have returned. And when I got here, step two offended me, because I didn't think that I needed to be restored to sanity. I'd already been through all that hoo-ha, you know, by professionals, by not so great professionals. And, you know, I had a lot of psychiatric help before I got here. So when I saw that word sanity, it offended me. I know now, of course, that it was referring to what we call the insanity of taking another drink or doing something over and over and expecting different results. Like, won't burn me this time, you know? I can stop it too. That kind of thinking. That's insanity for an alcoholic. But in the promises, it also says that we will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. Now, of course, we've been doing quite a bit of effort, writing down all those amends, thinking, or all those resentments, and talking to somebody else. But my experience was that the desire to drink, my compulsion to drink, was actually removed before I did any of the steps. It was pretty quick on after coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. So it says that it's a gift, it just comes. Or it doesn't say it's a gift, it says it's a miracle. We are not fighting it, meaning alcohol, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So I really see that as a promise, and one that I've experienced. You know, of course have had issues and problems and resentments and things that have cropped up, and fear of financial insecurity, etc., etc. But nothing that working these steps, talking to you people, and keep showing up hasn't alleviated. So it truly is as described. This is underlined, so I'm just going to read it. This was underlined a long time ago, apparently. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And that's how we keep in, among other things, how we keep in fit spiritual condition, is turning it over to God, asking what he would have us do. And recently, to me, that's been, and I talked to my friend Pat, who heard my steps all those years ago, she's out in California, about, you know, at this stage in the game, for me it's 38 years, for many people in this room it's a really long time. All there is steps 10, 11, and 12. And that's her experience, and it's been pretty much mine. But that's enough. 10, 11, and 12 is plenty to stay on the firing line of life. And then there's the part that talks about having a daily reprieve, which we have if we do these simple things. Now, to maintain the spiritual fitness, as I say, some people have talked about doing an inventory every day. Well, step 11 actually, and for years I quibbled because it's out of order. It's out of order. When we retire at night, but I've heard some explanations for that, which I don't remember. I'm sure there's a really good one, but anyways, that is the inventory process, and so it's going through our day. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation, and we shouldn't be shy on this matter. So it talks about, once again, What? Looking at our resentful, selfish, were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? So what was I just talking about in step 10? Same thing. So I guess we could either say we do a daily 10 step or we do a daily 11 step. Okay. But as I said, the 10th step in my mind is addressing perhaps matters that need to be looked at more carefully and addressed with a sponsor, whereas the nightly review, which I think this is not necessarily something that I'm discussing with my sponsor and making amends for right away. But it's very very helpful. I'm very excited. I have a new person to sponsor. So I have my big book by my bed, which usually it's, you know, out in the living room, or one of them is on the bookshelf for easy access. But now I've got it by my bed so I can do this nightly review. And sometimes I even have somebody else I can ask about how'd it go today, you know? And fine is usually the response. Because I'm not asking another person how I was today. I'm looking at my own experience. And I have a big life. I have a full life. And sometimes, frankly, it's kind of hard to start at 6 a.m. and remember everything that happened. But I am confident that my higher power and the spirit of the universe will let me know if there's something that I've forgotten, something that we need to address. So the 11th step, as it's in the book, The On Awakening, I practice the 11th step every day. It's, you know, a time of prayer and meditation. It's similar to something called a quiet time that I've heard in circles that I actually traveled in before I got sober. I shared with you that a lot of times when I was trying to change to not be drunk Carolyn, I would associate with my friends that weren't drinking. Sometimes those were people that were in groups of Christian people, Bible studies, campus groups, where there was not drinking going on. And so quiet time was something that was not unfamiliar to me. And so something that, and we had day-by-day readings that, you know, I think Day by Day is a book out of the Presbyterian Church, but anyways, I read that on and off as a kid, and so I'm not unfamiliar with quiet time with God, is what I'm saying. And as the book says, there are many helpful books. Suggestions about these can be obtained from our priest, minister, or rabbi, and be quick to see where religious people are right. Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't require us, doesn't even suggest to us any particular religion at all, any of the world religions. What it does tell us or suggest, or whatever verb you want to use, is to find a higher power who works for us so that we don't drink. And so anyways, I appreciate this nod to myself. I had, like I said, I had a religious practice, but that didn't keep me from drinking. It did for a while, but there wasn't a continued, sustained experience. And that's because I wasn't in that process where we clear away the wreckage. Where the station wagon is cleared out and cleaned out, you know, it was all just kind of still around. And I was very good at ignoring it. I don't know if you know that denial is a very big aspect of alcoholism. And I have been able to deny certain things, that they don't exist when they're right there. But that's, again, what I'm saying about clearing out that space between me and God so the sunlight of the Spirit can shine on us, shine on me, and not have those resentments the selfishness, the dishonesty, the fears. And yes, they crop up. But there's a method, pretty easy method, to move them out of my life. So the step 11 is basically a time of prayer and meditation. But since I'd used it kind of, you know, this quiet time when I was drinking, I asked my sponsor, well, what do you do? Because I've done this stuff and I haven't really found it to be particularly long-term effective. And so she suggested her practice, which is still her practice, which is to read the step out loud, page 86, 87, and 88. So that's what I've done. And sometimes I take notes about what I'm doing today, because it asks us to, before we consider our plans for the day, we ask God to direct our thinking. And one thing I've also noticed is that ask God, or ask, is throughout step 11. We're not relying on our own understanding. We're trusting that we're going to get some communication from a power greater than ourselves. And in step 11 it says we ask God to direct our thinking, and that we ask for inspiration and an intuitive thought or a decision, that we ask for freedom from self-will. We ask for ourselves if others will be helped. We ask our wives or friends to join us, or husbands to join us in doing this reading. And we ask for the right thought or action. So that's a lot of asking. And I would say that ask is kind of a synonym. It's the action of praying. So the first part of the step is asking, as I just said, that our thinking be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And we can go back to step three in that litany of selfishness, self-centered, and self-seeking motives. It's right there. We already reviewed about selfishness. And we've learned again that the step four is in step 10, the selfishness, dishonesty. Again, crux of the program, getting rid of self. But I can't do that without you, and I can't really do that without new people in the room, because how we ultimately are getting my mind off myself in Alcoholics Anonymous is to ask for the help, to be able to turn it over to somebody else, my attention. I also found the other promises, which maybe you all have known about, but the other promises in step 11, which has to do with my thinking. And I will tell you that for a long time, I didn't really trust my thinking. And so I've talked about the 10,000 pound phone. But after a while, it got easier to call my sponsor. It got easier to talk to somebody else. And I'm married to an alcoholic. He's not my sponsor, sober alcoholic, but he's got some good stuff. So sometimes, you know, I will ask him, or I've asked him. But over the years, not only do I still talk to other people, run things by them, as we say, but I also have been able to trust my thinking. Because it's promised right in here. It's promised in the 11th step that that we will have intuitive thoughts, and that we will be thinking more and more on the plane of inspiration. Now sometimes, as it says, and I I know. My thinking isn't always, I don't always have good ideas. I may have already said that I get up kind of early, a little later than usual, used to, but I'll have 100 good ideas before 6 a.m., you know? It's like, whoa, 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 you know, what am I doing? I'll write them all down. Well, some of them. And, but then I learned the pause. And that's what's in step 11. We pause, okay? Pause and ask for the right thought or action. So I go through some of those laundry lists of good ideas, which usually involve going somewhere or calling somebody. You know, my impulsive behavior my behavior has changed, but my thinking has not necessarily changed that much. Just a word about thinking. There's a slogan on the wall, you know, written in those, whatever that kind of script is, Old English, and some places, and it says, think, think, think. And I understood that was think the drink through, you know, before you take it. Well, for some reason, I was at this little old meeting in New Hampshire when we just moved to Vermont, and went in, and on the upright piano thing, they had all these, you know, slogans. But they had think, think, think upside down. I'm like, you know, I heard a speaker say today it was all grandpas at the meeting. And it was mostly grandpas at the meeting. So I thought they'd made a mistake, so I just went over and kind of turned it. So it's like, right. Then I went over and had some coffee and chatting away. And I sat down and I looked at it. It was upside down again. Now, the thing that I want to tell you is that I was sober long enough at the time to not go and turn it right side up again. And I hope that after we're done here, or maybe during the Q&A, somebody will explain to me why we turned that sign upside down. I'm getting close to the end here. So something that I also do, not only jotting down the 100 good ideas at 6 a.m., is when I'm actually trying to figure out my day, I just will take a sticky note or write in my journal kind of the plans for the day. And I have some different areas that I slot things in. So I have some balance, you know, some balance in the life. So some of the slots are, or headings are, health, home, family, creativity, people, and service. And so when I'm really on my game, I've got that little list there, and I ask for direction on which in each one of those areas I should do that day. Let's see. Oh, so there was, just in closing, it talks about how we're supposed to pray. And I have not spoken about meditation, so let me just say about meditation. I've done meditation separately from reading the step. I've done meditation, it's called the, what's it called? It's one word that we hold in our mind. It's actually a type of prayer. But anyways, my sponsor's given me books on meditation. Her line to me about the whole thing was, well, you wouldn't just say, I don't do meditation, it's not my thing, any more than you'd say, I don't do the four steps, it's not my thing. So meditation is part of the step, and we have a very big tent here. So meditation, I think, is personal, as is a lot of this, a personal choice. Again, we can talk about that in Q&A. And finally, in reading the step, it says, many of us, we are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Well, I didn't think it was so easy to see why. And then this week I was referred back to Bill's story at page 13. And he has a test. He says, "I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others." So, there you have it from Bill Wilson about why I'm not, you know, praying for my own new car or a different house or that, you know, well, there's more step 11 is so personal. It's very personal and getting emotional. Why I'm not praying for somebody else to act differently towards me. Why my daughter-in-law isn't going to embrace me with open arms. Maybe she will. I don't know. But that's not what I'm praying for. So, thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. So now we'd like to ask our audience if they have any questions. If you do, just go ahead and raise your hand and I'll bring you the microphone. Or if you're on Zoom, go ahead and speak up. Who would like to get us started?
Thank you, Carolyn. I'm Brenda Alcoholic.
Thank you, Brenda.
So I know at Brown Baggers our think sign is upside down.
I didn't see that. Uh-huh. I'm sure it would have gone.
Now, other people have turned that around. And if you look on the back of it, it'll say to you, "Quit turning this upside down. It was right the first time. It's supposed to be upside down." And what I was told is a couple things. When I have a thought, it's usually wrong. First thought, wrong. Because my thinking is messed up as an alcoholic. Mm. So I need to learn how to think, because all my thinking has got me in this seat today. So that's what I took from that.
Oh, thank you. That makes
a lot
of sense.
Well, that's just from me. But the one thing that's really hard for me and took a long time and still does is the seriousness of the program. Good sponsors, people who have a lot of knowledge, people who have a lot of time, used to, like, I felt like I was in school and I always hated studying. Because for me, I feel like I have this personality defect that used to be on Patch Adams, that I have excessive happiness. And I can't live without it, because I make a joke out of everything. But that's who I am. I have an awful lot of fun, and I poke fun at things that are serious. So I will ask you, do you think that's a serious defect?
No, Brenda, I think that's a gift from God. I really do.
Oh, thank God.
A good sense of humor is why some of us are still here. I think it's really important. Of course, there's an appropriate time. You remember the Mary Tyler Moore show when she was at the funeral and she started laughing because she was thinking of the clown. So we don't do that, right? Well, Mary did. She got away with it. But, you know, we're not a glum lot, right? So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? People are pointing at Kevin.
Thank God for Brenda and myself. My God, we'd be out of here in 20 minutes. Carolyn, thanks again for showing up and doing this and sharing your experience, strength, and hope with two of the most important steps in the later part of our program. I like the way you described the segue between the reflections of the day between steps 10 and 11. my question is by the time you get to those steps, when you are being sponsored and when you're sponsoring someone, how do you approach those?
I'm not sure.
In other words, when somebody, they've done the first 9 steps and they're, I would assume that you handle 10 and then 11.
Right.
When you were sponsored, I guess, was that the way it was for you? And how was your sponsor taking you through steps 10 and 11? And how do you do the same thing?
Yeah. Well, I have a smart remark for that, but I'll just say what my experience was that we went through the big book. And so step 10 is largely a reflection of the work that we do in step 4. And so we go back and look at the columns and discuss what, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear is, how that looks to us now, which we should be pretty familiar with it after doing those steps. So, discussing it in that fashion. And then the 11th step, now, I don't know how many, I don't sponsor a whole lot of people right now. Well, those that are checking in are 3, and I don't really know if any of them are reading the 11th step out of the book as suggested, but that's what I've always suggested because that was what was suggested to me, and it seems pretty perfect. There's a lot of balance in there. But there's also a whole lot of helpful books, and so I know that I'm in Al-Anon, and I read the Al-Anon readers and stuff in addition to that. But that's pretty much going through the big book.
Okay. Thanks, Carolyn. It's always good to hear as you kind of share your thoughts on your experience working the steps. So here's my question. I know you got sober in the western part of our country, and so every little area has its quirks on how we do it. And I have heard from people in California, the West Coast bunch, doing a thing that they call sharing their 10th step on a daily basis, like in a little circle of things. I don't get it. But that doesn't mean it's not a valid procedure. I was wondering if you're aware of it. Have you ever done any such thing? Know people who used that successfully? Or is that just, I don't know, another sewing circle? So what do you think?
Great question, and pretty interesting. Actually, I came across the book that I've used for this reference. And part of what Wally does is that. Just that, writes out the 10th step, and then they share it among themselves. And Trevor and I met these people at an AA meeting that we went back to in Paris because it was English speaking, and that's what they did. Now, it seemed a little kind of, it was very different. I had not encountered that any other place, but then when I started reading that book, and Wally P's from Tucson, but I hadn't heard that. But it is like sharing their guidance. He they refer to it as getting guidance in the 10th and 11th step, writing it out. And then, like I said, I have those little different headings. Then I would send that or call my sponsor. I don't do that, but I have heard of it. It's kind of interesting.
Well, thank you, because I'd never heard about it except from people in California and, like, Western people, and I just thought, I don't know, is that some wrinkle they developed themselves and a way to practice step 10? I know we got a lot of freedom in how we practice steps. I mean, that's pretty clear.
Sure.
So then the other question I have, if you don't mind my blathering on a little bit, is on step 11, what about the role of silence? As I've sponsored people and as I've been sponsored, sometimes I've been told to just sit still and shut my mouth and wait
Sure.
For what happens. Is that something that you have done, something you counseled? No, to embrace, that's not what I mean, Trevor. That's not what I mean. I mean embracing silence as a meditative tool.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think...
I'm going to shut up now.
Thank you. No, I have a little place in our room, in my chair, after we're done reading stuff. If there's something that I'm particularly bothered by and I need an answer, I sit there. Sometimes I even get off and I sit and get down on my knees. But yes, I think silence has a huge part in our prayer and meditation.
I can't resist. I have one more question. This shouldn't be, but walking. I mean, do you walk for exercise, which I kind of know you do, but have you ever used that as part of a meditative process?
I have. When we didn't practice this beforehand. When we lived in Abu Dhabi, and I had, for the first time in decades, had time off, was not working, and we lived right next to a big park where it was about 10 or 15 degrees cooler sometimes than it was out at our place. And so, yeah, I would do that. And that I can't remember the name of the prayer. I'll think of it, the type of prayer. And just one word and just use that, walking back and forth. And of course, we're fortunate enough at the Leaf to have one of those labyrinths. So that's useful too. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, neighbor.
Hello, neighbor. Hi, Jim.
I remember a long time ago asking my sponsor about this 10th step and how it relates to the 5th step, because we sat down and we went over our inventory. And you said that 10, 11, and 12 was the ongoing thing. He insists I still go back to the 5th step. To call God in and another human being, because my own best thinking is still not right. I'm still an alcoholic.
Right.
You know, so in your personal inventory, if things get jumbled up, do you call your sponsor?
I talked to another sober member of AA. I really don't call Pat my sponsor anymore, because we haven't been on a regular basis. I have a friend that during COVID we reconnected and I talked to, yes. And I think that the 10th step contemplates that. It says, you know, when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them, we discuss them with another person, and then we make amends if needed. So I think it's kind of the short form of exactly what you're talking about.
Right, that way you don't say to yourself, out of hell with it. You know, because...
Right. Well, that's what I was saying. In the 10th step, I think a lot of us think, I can just identify what's going on, and I better, you know, say sorry, or whatever. But we take out the part about talking to another person, which is
right.
Huge accountability.
Right. It's the accountability factor, yeah. And it's important. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you, Carolyn.